Hello and welcome to another episode of The Love Note. Today's episode is episode 35 and my guest is me. That's right, it's the first episode since I started the Power of Your People series where it's just you and me, and I have to say I've been looking forward to this for the last few weeks because it's been such a long time since we've spoken and I'm really looking forward to today's episode. The first thing that I want to cover is how important this episode, this series rather, has been to me. Over the last 10 plus weeks, I've interviewed the people that are nearest and dearest to me and who have helped me to become the person that I am today. And it's been almost as if I stepped back into my childhood, having the original conversations with these people and learning and enjoying their wisdom once more. It's been absolutely incredible. And I've taken this format and applied it to so many different areas of my life. I've met such incredible people in the last couple of months, had deep, interesting conversations, and I highly recommend you taking this interview style that I have done over the past couple of weeks and try it out with the people around you, because these episodes are probably some of my biggest keepsakes. I'm going to call them family heirlooms, and I just think it would be really valuable for you to not necessarily record your conversations, but to have them. I know for me it's been really special, and I'd love to know that it was special for you too. And I also wanted to do a little bit of an interview of myself without sounding too conceited, because some of the questions that have come up throughout the series have been really fun to ask and have also prompted me to think about what some of my answers are. So that's what today's episode is going to be. I asked my Nana what her biggest lessons or realizations have been when she started over, and I wanted to answer this question too. I've started over almost constantly for the last 5 years because I don't have a fixed location and I'm constantly traveling, so I don't really have a home base or any kind of routine besides the routine that I take with me, which is mostly self-care. And I want to say that the biggest lesson or realization that I've had during this period is setting habits right from the start is really important. So if you're doing long-term travel or any kind of travel and you want to maintain a certain routine, whether it's exercise or meditating or whatever you're interested in, the first thing that you should do when you get to a new place within the first 3 hours is set yourself up for success with that routine. So for me, as soon as I get to a new place, I will go grocery shopping so that I have everything that I need to eat healthy. I will buy protein powder because you can't take protein powder on a plane. It looks like anthrax. And I would go to the gym, or I would find the nearest gym and sign up for a membership so that my first experience with a country or a new location is really positive and sets the tone for the rest of the trip. As well, travel can be really isolating, so making an effort to go out and socialize on the first night that you're there, or within the first couple of hours that you're there, will also get you out of the house. And this is particularly important if you're going for long-term stays. If you set the tone by resting on the first night, you'll want to rest the second night, and then that will just become a habit and it'll be really hard to drag yourself out of the house to do any socializing. I think as well, on a more personal note, travel has taught me to be less attached to people, because when people leave my life, and they do a lot, it's because we're going to a new city. And when you have a nice time with someone, you don't necessarily have to have more than that, because when you're traveling, you don't really usually have more than that. So because of that experience and because of that choice I have in my life, I let people go a lot easier. If they want to move on with their life without me, I'm really okay with that. And I think having less attachment to people and what they do Before I was traveling, I would get so upset if people cancelled on me, if they let me down in any kind of sense, if they had their own lives and didn't get back to me as fast as I wanted, if they just weren't as involved in the relationship as I wanted. It was a really dramatic and unhealthy sort of relationship that I had with a lot of people. But now that I'm traveling, as I said, I'm less attached to people, and it's been huge for all of my relationships. And I would highly recommend practicing less attachment to people, because upsetting yourself about someone's actions or lack of involvement or lack of contact over a period of time is such a bad way to leave a relationship. And it really doesn't matter. I have to remind myself that if this person were to walk in front of a car tomorrow and the last thing I'd said to them was, "Oh, you never make an effort to see me," or why haven't you texted me in 6 months?" It would be really sad. And it's usually not about me at all. I know it's easy to believe that they don't like you or they don't care about you, but the truth is everyone has their own lives, and that's okay. I asked Debbie about what a healthy relationship looks like, and her answer made me want to go a little bit further into what I've learned about relationships. And I suppose this kind of builds on to what I just said. Being super attached to people and wanting them to fulfill you all of the time is not a very healthy way to live. I have recently just gotten out of a relationship and I'm doing really well. It's also why I took some time away and haven't been as consistent recently online. And without going into too much detail, because I do still want to keep that fairly private, it's really, really, really important to be with someone who is really able to manage their emotions and take responsibility for their emotions too. So one example of this is if you see your partner flirting with another girl and you go up to him and you scream and you say, "How could you do that to me?" Or you could see him flirting with another girl and then talk to him afterwards and go, "Oh my God, I felt so insecure. I was feeling really jealous." There's a really big difference in approaching that situation. And I'm really proud of how far I've come with this, because it definitely didn't come to me easy and I wasn't taught it when I was a child, but I have come a long way. And I think if you want to have a long-term and fulfilling and stable relationship and respectful relationship, it's really important to A, be the type of person that can handle your emotions, and B, find someone who is able to do the same, because there are a lot of people who say they are capable of doing it and they aren't. And it doesn't make them a bad person, but you can't make someone learn that or make them respond in that way in a situation where they're upset. And the only way that they can learn is by choosing to do it. I think it's also really important, and I'm going through quite a lot of different personal stuff at the moment that is just making me feel like, oh, 2018 is a wild year. But it's really, really important to make sure that you have people in your life who aren't going to throw things back in your face. There's a difference between being honest and rubbing something in someone's face over and over again for years and years and years and doing really bad damage. So if you have someone in your life who is incapable of managing their emotions or taking responsibility for them and not projecting them onto you, or they are incapable of forgiving and moving on from the past, protect yourself and try to get out of the situation if you can. That's all I can say about that, really. And now that I'm back into the dating world, my goodness, it's how would I describe dating in the current modern world? It's full of narcissistic, controlling, and egotistical people, honestly. I've only been on a couple of dates, and I also asked Debbie what her red flags were for someone, which made me think a lot about what mine are, so I thought I would share those with you. First red flag: if he can't make eye contact with you, it's a really bad sign. Second red flag: if he pulls up his shirt and shows off his muscles when you go and train at the gym together, or just in any setting, he's obsessed with his body and everything is very shallow. Third red flag: if you get a sense that he's lying, he's definitely lying. Definitely lying. Fourth red flag: if he tries to have sex with you like the sex that he's seen on porn, that's a really bad sign. Fifth red flag: if when you tell him that you don't want to see him anymore, and then he continues to keep messaging you and dangling carrots in front of you and calling you, that's a really bad sign. Sixth red flag: if he doesn't listen, talks over the top of you constantly, and misconstrues everything you say because he is so wrapped up in himself, that's probably the worst red flag. And if you get to all of these red flags, run as far and as fast as you can, because it's not going to be good. I asked my mom, who taught her to be independent, or how did she teach herself? And I wanted to answer the same question. Travel has really helped me in a lot of ways. And one of the ways in particular that has helped me is teaching me to be independent. I have spent quite a number of years on my own with a backpack of stuff, very small backpack of stuff, and traveling the world, meeting different people, seeing different things, feeling incredibly lonely and staying with it. Traveling alone is not an easy thing to do. It is quite scary, and I wouldn't recommend traveling on your own to dangerous countries if you have never traveled before and you are not savvy. But I would recommend doing it, because it will teach you so much about yourself and it will give you a confidence like nothing else. As well, I think doing hobbies or things that you really enjoy on your own, just because you enjoy them, is a really healthy thing to do for yourself as far as making yourself into your own person. Always needing to have friends around, always needing to have your partner or family around is great, but it doesn't develop your sense of self, and ultimately you want to build yourself up into someone who can stand on your own two feet and walk through whatever you need to walk through in your life. And the quicker you can teach yourself to do that, the more prepared you are for later challenges in life. Say your partner dies, your child dies, your parents die, you become really sick, or you just run into a lot of bad luck. That's why I think investing into yourself and teaching yourself to become strong and independent is one of the best things that you can do for yourself. I spoke to my dad about failures, and I wanted to talk about some of my biggest failures, because people don't often think when you've done something and had some success that you failed. And the truth is, I have failed so many times that I couldn't tell you how many times I've failed. I can think of all the times I made huge mistakes on Trafiel's social media, where I said something inappropriate and people were upset. Those were definitely some of my biggest failures, especially because they were on influencer posts and I just didn't think it through, and I stuffed up big time and did quite a lot of damage. That took me a while to recover from. I've also cost my company thousands of dollars with the mistakes that I've made. I've hurt people by being a terrible leader and manager and having no idea what I'm doing, running a team and being stressed to the limits, but regardless, continuing to hire people and grow the team when I wasn't equipped to manage them. I have prioritized work over everything in my life, and people that I really cared about have left me because of that. I have lost someone that I really cared about my beautiful horse Annie, and she was someone that I pushed aside to do more work. And for that, I have a lot of regrets, and I consider that to be one of my biggest failures. But there are at least 100 more failures that I could ring off. I also want to talk about some of my successes, apart from obviously growing the business from 0 to 10,000 customers in 18 months. And that is, I had a team of 9 employees, which was really cool, even though I managed badly and I wasn't actually that great of a leader. But it was cool to have an amazing group of people inside my company who really believed in what we were doing and had such great attitudes despite my terrible leadership skills. I started a business, which a lot of people want to do, and I also had a moderate level of success, which a lot of people don't get to do or see when they start a business. So for that, definitely one of my biggest successes. I think probably one of the key metrics that I'm most proud of is our return customer rate with Trefiel. It was 40%, which is incredibly high for an e-commerce business. Most online businesses have 10 to 15% return customer rate, and ours was more than double that, which is very, very cool. I went to China in the name of business. I went to Hong Kong and Cosmoprof in the name of business, which is a huge skincare conference. I got to travel to Bali for business. I was invited to 50 Shades Darker and was a major sponsor for the premiere because of the business. I met so many wonderful people because of the business. I think I'm really grateful for that as well. And it's led me to so many different opportunities now, things that I could never have imagined because I have a skill set that people want and is valuable to other people, which is a follow-on success, I suppose. I guess in all of this, it's important to remember that with all the highs, there are just as many lows, and I can assure you, it feels like there were at least double as many lows as there was highs. I also asked my dad about managing his internal voice and what to do when the voice inside is telling you that you're a failure or you're a loser. And I'm so guilty. Actually, guilty is probably the wrong word. I definitely struggle with this. So some of the things that have worked for me are being really vigilant with exercise. So even if I don't feel like going to the gym and it's my training day, I will go anyway and work out for 10 minutes. Usually the 10 minutes is enough to get me started. And so often when I go there in a bad mood, the workout is often way better than when I go there in a happy mood. I'm not really sure why. But regardless, dragging yourself as if you were a child to the gym to do the exercise that you need to do to feel good is my number one tip. As well, being really vigilant with your meditation and affirmations is probably my next best tip. People ask how I'm so strict on myself. I just don't allow myself to give any excuses or reasons why I can't do something. If my voice inside my head says, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to, I look at myself with disdain a little bit, and perhaps that's not very healthy. But I think that's the child inside me, and of course they don't want to go to the gym or they don't want to eat healthy. But I think of myself as if I am my own parent, and if that voice inside of me is my child and they're not wanting to do something that they really need to do for themselves, I'm not going to sit aside and let them do whatever they want. No, I'm going to make them set good habits and keep them accountable, because that's what good family members and good friends do. I would say that I'm actually quite hard on myself in that respect. And it's led me to have a lot of different situations which definitely aren't healthy, such as having an eating disorder. But overall, I would say as long as I'm aware that I'm being balanced, being strict on myself has only led to positive things in the last couple of years. And if you hear yourself giving excuses as to why you can't do something that you should, tell yourself to shut up and go do it anyway, because you need to do it. I asked Nayana what her favorite place to travel to was, and I also wanted to elaborate on my experience with Israel because, truthfully, it is the one place that I have been to where I really left a piece of myself there and am still aching to go back there. Everything is on the surface because there is so much tension in the areas surrounding the country, and people are dying, people's children are dying because of the conscription and the war that's happening there. So people don't let things fester. They say it how it is. If you upset them, they're honest. They bring it up straight away, they deal with it, and then they move on because life is so short and you never really know who is going to die or be injured or taken away. And as strange and bizarre as that sounds for someone who has never had to live in that situation before, and you maybe don't understand it, I found it to be so incredible. And I wish Australia was more like it. I wish we didn't talk about other people behind their backs. I wish we had all-out yelling matches in the markets, like I saw in Israel, and then we shake hands and we move on with our lives. I wish people talked about their feelings more. I wish that I didn't have to guess how most Australians felt. I wish they would tell me. And I suppose this year I'm really focused on spending time with my family and building myself back up again after this recent breakup. But a big part of me really wants to go back to Israel and throw myself into that culture and live it fully, because if you ever get a chance to go there, you will see what I mean, but it is so incredibly special and I just need to go back. So I would say that's my favorite place that I've ever been to. Okay, the last thing that I'm going to do is run through those really quick questions that I do at the end of every show or interview. First one is, what book has changed the way you think about yourself or the world around you? It's difficult to pick one book because I usually read about 4 a month and all the different types of genres and topics, but I would say some of the best books that I have ever read are in the fiction category, The Power of One by Bryce Courtney. In the non-fiction category, there's quite a few, but definitely The Psychology of Addiction by Dr. Gabor Mate, I hope I said that right, was an incredible book. Incredible. And even though I didn't have any of the typical addictions like alcohol addiction or drug addiction, it definitely highlighted some of my behaviors that I have still from my eating disorder that mimic a typical addiction. And it was the type of book where I read one paragraph and I would just sit back and think, holy crap, this makes so much sense. I understand myself so much better now. So I highly recommend that book. If you get a chance, read anything by Malcolm Gladwell. It is very easy to read and he covers a lot of interesting topics as well. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius is a philosophy book if you're into that. And every time I open it, I just seem to find a quote that's relevant to what I'm going through in my life. So I recommend that one. Body Language, which my father also recommended, by Alan and Barbara Pease, was fantastic. Oh, another fiction series that I thoroughly enjoyed and I just couldn't put down was the Philip Pullman series, His Dark Materials, which was incredible. Honestly, I couldn't put it down and I would highly recommend it if you love fiction. Next question is, what's something that excites you about the next 5 years of life? Honestly, I have so much trouble answering this question because every day I get up and I'm so excited to do whatever it is I'm working on. At the moment, I am servicing a lot of service businesses and helping them acquire more customers, but also retain the customers that they have. And I'm really enjoying playing a role in so many different types of businesses and really providing a lot of value. It's very fulfilling to me. But in saying that, I also know from the get-go that it's not my long-term solution as far as what I want to do for work. So I am really looking forward to using my consulting business to meet a ton of different people, different businesses, and working on some really cool projects while I figure out what I want to do next. I'm working on a tool at the moment which automates marketing campaign processes, and it's a long way from being ready to go to market. I think the first version will be launching in about a month and a half, but I'm really enjoying that process, and to be truthful, I don't know if it will lead us to anything, but I've always said that doing something feels better than doing nothing, and this feels really great, so we'll see how it goes. Next question is, what's something that scares you about the next 5 years of your life? As silly as this is, having just come out of a long-term relationship, I am going through that stage at the moment where you kind of have those doubts about whether you're ever going to be able to have a long-term, fulfilling, committed relationship and start a family. And I think it has to do with my age and the current stage of processing that I'm at. But that's definitely something that's scaring me right now. As far as the next 5 years, I don't know. I'm not really scared. I'm excited. And when I do feel scared, I know it's because it's a little, whatever I'm thinking about is out of my comfort zone, but it's usually a good thing if it is. So I try to change that fear into excitement for whatever it is. Last question. If there was one piece of parting advice that I could give to you that would change the way you think about yourself or change the way you think about the world, what would it be? So many different things that I could talk about. Okay, I'll pick two. Do whatever you want to do, and don't let the thought of what other people will think stop you. There are going to be a lot of people in your life that you are frightened will tell you that you're not good enough, or you definitely know that they bitch about you behind their back, behind your back. But it really doesn't matter, because they don't have the balls to say it to your face, and because they don't have the balls to say it to your face, they're a coward. But also, they're not really that important. The people that care about you and that actually matter will tell you, will point out your flaws to you honestly and truthfully to your face, and they'll give you the best feedback that you need to hear. And I'm going to tack on another piece of advice, and that is to, if someone who you really care about is being honest with you about something, goddammit, take responsibility for that and work on it, because it's up to you, and no, it's not their fault. And no, they're not a bad person. They care about you, they're being honest with you, listen to them. My second piece of advice, I think it's really easy to question yourself and try and take the blame for other people's actions. And a lot of people, especially if you are empathic and compassionate, people will try to blame you for the way they feel. And it's really important not to take that on. If someone comes to you and says, hey, listen, when you did this, it made me feel like this because, you have a choice. You can say, oh, I'm so sorry. That wasn't my intention. Like, I didn't mean it like that. And you deal with it then and there. You can also say, I'm really sorry, but that's who I am and it's not going to change. And you move on from that. If someone comes to you and is always asking you to change and be someone that you're not, that person doesn't really love you. And what they're coming to you about isn't really about you. It's about their insecurity or their unhappiness in themselves. And I think more than anything, that's advice to myself, and I hope that it's useful to you too. And I want to say one last thing before I sign off. I've really been debating whether I want to continue with this podcast. Yes, again. And the reason for that is that I'm not really doing it as well as I would like to. At the moment, I'm using an app called Anchor, and you will hear the outro at the end of every episode. And while it's really convenient to use this app, it's also not ideal when I'm doing interviews, because I have to record the interview on my laptop and then re-record the interview on my phone. The audio isn't great and it just takes a lot longer than it should. So the process for this podcast isn't ideal. And one of the issues that I'm going to run into is getting access to the Love Note account on iTunes to upload it myself, because Anchor has a hold of it and I just don't think it's possible to get access. So ran into a couple of dead ends with as far as improving the podcast and making it better based off the feedback that you've given me. As well as this, I really want to focus on doing more and different topics and having different guests on here. Yes, communication, self-love, self-respect is very important to me, but I'm also fascinated in business, in health, and there are so many people out there that I would love to have on the show, but I'm restricted by the name of the show. So what I'm thinking of doing is starting a new show and putting it under my own name, such as The Tim Ferriss Show, etc. And then that way the interviews can be structured by my interests rather than a specific topic based on the podcast's name. So with that in mind, this is actually going to be the last episode for a while, but fear not, I'm going to be working on some very different projects at the moment. As I said, I'm building the marketing automation tool, which should be launching in the next month and a half. And as well, I will be releasing a new podcast probably in April or May. Finally, I'm releasing a blog post series doing a post-mortem of Trefiel. So everything that we did to grow it from zero to 10,000 customers, all the amazing people that helped us, and some advice on starting your own business, which I hope will be helpful, useful, and insightful too. So ladies, thank you so much for coming along for the bootstrapped podcast journey with me. I know the audio was rough a lot of the time. I know there were mistakes with the music in the background a lot of the time. I know that I haven't been consistent and I need to be, but I've had an absolute blast doing this and I'm really excited to get back into it with more focus and more quality. So thank you again for supporting me and building up my confidence and getting me to this point. I can't wait to come back and deliver you a podcast that is even better, even more interesting, and hopefully even more helpful. But I'll let you be the judge of that. I hope you are having an amazing week, and I will talk to you very soon.